Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome back in the Morning Hookup. Having a great time, having a great Friday. Hope everyone's Friday is off to a great start. Let's bring on the Husker legend, Henry T. Buchanan, who's also joined by Coach Fred Hoiberg. Good morning, guys.
Good morning, T. How you doing, man?
Good morning. How y'all doing? Hey, what's up, Coach?
Good. How's everything going?
We're good. I got to tell you, T, before we get started, our weather's better than yours today.
Yeah. For once.
Hey, it's monsoon season out here, so we're only getting up to high 90s, up to about 100, 102, and it's it's been trying to rain, but it's not been good.
Coach, every day, every Thursday, we have tea on usually. He always brags about blue skies and sitting on his patio.
I know. Believe me, every time he comes back, he talks about it and how he gets up, plays golf, and, you know, he's living the life, man. He's living the life that I would like to lead.
Oh, man, he is. Hey, I'm going to ask the hard-hitting question right away. It's Friday. How many lottery tickets are we all buying? There's $1 billion at stake.
10?
Yeah, my. It's funny you say that. My wife is actually out buying it in them as we speak. So, yeah. I'll share. Let's do this. Let's make a pact. If you guys win, you share with me. If I win, I'll share with you.
That sounds great.
That is in. By the way,
that's a bet. Let's do that.
And also, you know, what's the strategy in it? Because I usually don't buy them, okay? But it's like, it's a billion. Maybe there's a chance. Do you hit, like, different gas stations? Do we hit different places?
I think this is the first time we've ever bought them, to be honest. So I don't want to be.
I got to go to the small town gas stations.
Yeah, no kidding.
That's on the highway. I agree.
Yeah.
Or a long road trip somewhere, man, and hit a gas station on one of those interstates and side roads. So that's how you do it.
Well, that's good stuff. Hey, I want to kick off with you guys, and I appreciate you guys both your time, and I know it's valuable. So, Coach, I want to talk to you about your relationship that's been building with Henry T. Because he's not the guy, as you've known, that sits in the back of the room and takes no for an answer. I'm telling you, he's probably the guy at your front door knocking at like 6 in the morning going, Coach, how's it going? Talk about that. Your relationship that's building with T and the importance of the alumni coming around and gathering around your program.
Yeah, T's the best. He's been so supportive. Right when I got the job, he reached out to me, and we just kind of built our relationship since. And anytime he's in town, he comes by. He's spoken to our group a few times. I know he's coming back this fall for some football games. One thing I'm really excited about with this team, and T's seen it a little bit in the spring, is just what a great group of kids we have. And, I know T's been very supportive through some very difficult times. And, you know, this year I think we've got a group that's going to be really easy to cheer for. And it's going to be a group that I think that our former players and our fan base, can really get behind because of how hard they'll play defensively. That's really what we've been working on in the summer. We get 8 weeks with them. And, you know, I do think it's a group. We've got length, we've got size, we've got toughness with this team that should hopefully translate to winning. And, you know, T's been there through it all. You know, year one when we took over, obviously a very difficult situation with only Thor as a returner. And then the next year having COVID hit our team as much as any team in the country, really right when we got Derek Walker. He'd come back for one game. He had a really good game against Indiana. And then tested positive that next morning. And then it went to Delano, who really never recovered fully from it. And then, you know, just kind of went all the way down the line, including most of the coaching staff. So, you know, he's been with us through everything last year with, you know, a lot of hype and a lot of expectation out of that group. We just never fully came together, especially at the beginning of the year, and lost so many close games. And, you know, you find a way to win some of those. If we make free throws in our opener, if we make free throws against Ohio State, we don't lose that game in overtime. You know, Rutgers makes a last second shot to beat us. The game at Michigan, you know, you find a way to win some of those close ones. You know, then you get positive momentum. You get confidence to know that you can win those games. But, you know, Henry T has stayed with us through everything. And, you know, I can't tell you how much I appreciate that. You know, I know a guy that came here and just played his butt off every time he was on the floor. So, you know, I really think we've got a group of guys that this base that our alumni can be proud of, and hopefully continue to build and have sustained success for a long time.
Hey, Coach, talk about that a little bit. Is it this year's cast of characters that you brought in? I know that's a difficult because you're trying to figure out the Big Ten play, your play, mesh it together. Obviously, in the trials and tribulations, different coaching staff still searching for one. But define some of those guys and what the mantra of this year's team will be as the fans are starting to get excited about it.
Yeah, let me start with a couple of the transfers that we brought in. And, you know, Sam Griesel, who is from right down the road, actually lives about 2 minutes from where we live in Lincoln. You know, when he went into the portal, you know, we were tracking that. We'd heard that it might happen, and as soon as his name hit the portal, I called immediately. We played against them a couple years ago, and I was so impressed with his overall versatility, with his length, you know, at the point guard position. He's actually grown a little bit, I think, since we played him. He measured 6'7", wide shoulders, great build, great body, you know, and a guy that does a little bit of everything. And the thing that impressed me most after having an initial conversation with Sam, and we got him on a visit shortly after, all he talked about was winning. And it was really refreshing when a kid comes in and doesn't talk about, you know, how many shots am I going to get, you know, how many minutes am I going to get. All I want to do is impact winning and try and help take this program to where it's never been before. And he's got a passion for Nebraska basketball. He used to go to camps when he was a kid, and, you know, he truly wants to bring a winning culture and mentality to this community, and he's been a rock star. He had a hip procedure in the off season. He was cleared last week to start doing some straight line shooting, straight line running, and he's just itching to get out there. He has no pain in his hip. Our last team workout is on Wednesday of next week, and hopefully when we get back from the break, where our guys will start school on the 22nd, we'll get Sam out there for some live activity. But he's been phenomenal, leading from the sidelines, organizing get-togethers off the court, which is very important when you're building chemistry. So I've been really impressed with Sam and couldn't be more excited about him leading the show and running the show for us at the point guard position next year. Emmanuel Bandamel, we got really lucky with him kind of late in the process. Needed a guy to come in here and be able to knock down shots. He was a double-figure scorer last year at SMU. And again, the thing about, you know, when you look at guys like Sam, like Emmanuel, Juwan Gary, who I'll talk about in a minute from Alabama, is you've got guys that are coming from winning programs. And when you look at our team the last couple of years, I believe the only guy that played in a tournament game last year was Derek Walker when he was with Tennessee several years ago. So when you bring in guys like Sam, who's played in the NCAA tournament, like Emmanuel, who's played in the postseason, Juwan Gary, who's won SEC championship, played very well in the NCAA tournament, you're bringing in guys that have experienced winning, and that's very important. The thing that has impressed me about Emmanuel, when I look at all the guys that I've had going back to my really good Iowa State teams, I had some unbelievable culture guys, George Niang, Naz Long, mm-hmm. Matt Thomas, Monte Morris. I had guys that were all about the group and all about the team, and Emmanuel, I'd put him up with any guy that I've ever had as far as being a great culture guy. You know, can make shots at a high level. He'll guard. You can coach him. You can get on him. And there's never any, any negative reaction towards that. When you have a leader and an experienced guy that handles it that way, that trickles down to the rest of the team. Juwan Gary, our other transfer from Alabama, just really, I had a guy at Iowa State. You know, Henry T probably remembers this guy, Dustin Hogue, who was from the Bronx in New York, who did a little bit of everything for us, played junior college basketball at Indian Hills, and, you know, was the guy that guarded everybody. He got extra possessions on the offensive glass. This guy's as relentless as anybody I've seen going after the ball. He did not shoot the ball well last year. You know, big reason he really shifted to his left side on his shot. So we've been working hard at that. He's really starting to shoot the ball at a much higher clip. He's gaining confidence by the day, but really just a guy that's going to do everything for our team. And then the last guy, Blaze Kieda, that played in junior college, another guy that won a national championship 2 years ago at Coffeyville, played for one of the best coaches, Hall of Famer, in Jay Herkelman. So, you know, just a physical force. You know, he's really picked things up as well as anybody. We've changed our defense. We're doing some different things on the defensive end. He's taken more charges than anybody so far in the summer. But he's just a big physical presence. Can really score. It's got a nice touch in the paint. Can step out and knock down a shot. But the thing I love about Blaze is just his overall physicality and how well that'll translate to our league.
We're talking to Coach Fred Hoiberg, and I'm happy you brought up Sam. You know, I went to high school with him. Just an overall good dude. Coach, I wanted to ask you about the Big Ten. What have you learned about coaching in the Big Ten compared to your time at Iowa State and in the Big 12? What have you learned about the Big Ten?
Yeah, it really is. It's a completely different game. And, you know, the thing that you have to have is you have to have size and you have to have toughness if you have any chance of winning at this level in this league. And, you know, this really is the team that we have put together this year has that across the board. When you look at Sam at 6'7", when you look at Emmanuel at 6'5", Juwan, 6'7", Wilhelm, who's healthy now, he's been out live practice the last 2 weeks. He's looking great. You get him back on the floor at 6'10", Blaze at 6'11". You got Derek back with a physical presence. And then we've got size on our wings. C.J. Wilcher has lost about 15 pounds, really did a great job of taking care of his body. Denham Dawson, who, you know, I raved about last year when he came in just because of his overall toughness, now that he is eligible to be on the floor, he's been phenomenal, probably our best perimeter defender. So I've been really impressed with him. So that's the biggest thing. When you look at the size and the physicality at this level, if you can't compete with that, you know, you look at our game at Rutgers, for example, last year. You know, when you get Paul McKahee at the point at about 6'6", and then you go Ron Harper, and you got McConnell, you know, you got Geo Baker, you just got size across the board. We're going to be able to compete with that this year because of the makeup of our team.
Yeah, we got Henry T. Buchanan, Coach Fred Hoiberg. T., you got something? I know you got some hard-hitting questions for Coach.
Well, I wouldn't call him hard-hitting, but I would just say I just want to get his opinion about the, you know, with the UCLA and USC and what his thoughts on that. And then also, you know, I saw where the Big Ten commissioner says that if a team is going to bring some value to the conference, they would consider some other teams as well. Just get his thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think it's good for the league that you're adding some, you know, one of the biggest markets in the country with LA with those two teams. You know, we'll see how everything works out from a logistics standpoint. You know, I think they'll have to get creative with scheduling and how they're going to work all that out. But you know, from an exposure standpoint, from a you know, a marketing standpoint, I think it's a great move for our league, and I think it gives us incredible stability moving forward when there's so many questions about realignment and, you know, the different things that we're living in right now with everything going on in college athletics. But, you know, I really do think it adds great stability to our league. And, you know, I think the Big Ten at the forefront of adding teams, you know, us and the SEC are the two teams that, you know, that have certainly done the most in that area.
Well, Coach, we're all excited for it, for sure. We've got our seats paid for, so we're ready for it. But I want to have a little more fun, here. Coach, had a nice career in the league. And kind of looking at it, you were drafted by the Pacers. And what was it like the first time going into that locker room or getting on the floor, and it's Reggie Miller, Rick Smith, Dale Davis? What were those moments like as you came on the floor as a rookie?
It was intimidating, and I'll be honest with you. I was very fortunate. So the year that I was drafted was actually the year of an expansion year. So the Toronto Raptors mm-hmm. and the Vancouver Grizzlies came into existence that year, and what that did is it opened up 30 new jobs. And part of expansion is there's a draft, and you can protect 7 players on your roster. And one of the players that the Pacers left unprotected was Byron Scott, mm-hmm. who, you know, obviously one of the great players on the Showtime Lakers with Magic mm-hmm. and Kareem and Worthy in those great teams. He was, you know, instrumental in helping that team win championships. So Vancouver selected him in the expansion draft, and really that left one spot open on the team. I was actually drafted during a commercial. Rick Pitino was the draft analyst that night. And it was a long night. I mean, it was one of those things where I was kind of projected late first, early second, which, you know, once I became an executive in a front office with the Timberwolves, mm-hmm. I realized that's what everybody's told. It's not a lottery pick or, you know, somebody that's out of the draft. So I was very fortunate. A guy named Mel Daniels, who was a great player back in the ABA for the Pacers, you know, I got to know him a little bit as I was going through the process, and I knew that he liked me. So when the Pacers pick came up and they came back from commercial, they said Fred Hoiberg has just been selected with the 52nd pick of the draft by the Indiana Pacers. And, you know, it's about going to the right situation, mm-hmm. and everything's about timing, and everything's about, you know, taking advantage of the situation that you're put in. And when I went into training camp that year, I was very fortunate. Reggie Miller took me under his wing really from the day that I met him. And, you know, the first summer after I made the team, he was getting ready for the Olympics, and I was getting ready for the summer league. And we worked out every day in the gym, one-on-one. We'd play, we'd lift together. You know, we'd go out to lunch a lot of times. Our families would get together. So that helped me as much as anything. And being put into that situation as opposed to maybe going to a young team where I would have probably been thrown into the fire, which I wasn't ready for that first year, you know, probably ended up saving my career and at least giving me a chance. You know, every day in practice to chase Reggie Miller around screens for 2 hours a day, you know, that just, it's incredible what that does for your career. Playing for Larry Brown, you know, a Hall of Fame coach that's done a little bit of everything, and just being a sponge and trying to learn from those great players. But when you go from playing in the old Big Eight, you know, which I played in, and, you know, now you're going in there, and our first preseason game was against the Bulls with Jordan, and we played in an off-site, you know, college gym. And I just remember kind of being in awe, just looking down there and seeing those great Bulls teams and the guys really that you looked up to. And now here you have an opportunity to play against them. So, you know, it really was. It was intimidating for a guy that grew up in central Iowa, you know, went to Iowa State. And then, you know, now you get the opportunity. But, you know, for me, it was all about going out there and getting in the best shape of my life and competing. The guy that actually it came down to for that last spot was a guy named Damon Bailey. You know, Damon was on the cover of Sports Illustrated, I believe, in eighth grade. Mm-hmm. Bobby Knight said he would have started for their Indiana team that year. So, you know, him in Indiana almost would have been like, for me, having an NBA team in Iowa. And, you know, to have to beat him out in his home state where he was a larger-than-life figure, you know, was something that was hard. I mean, there was some backlash that I made the team instead of him. But you know what? I kept working. And took advantage of my time. Didn't play a lot that rookie year, but took advantage of it when I got on the floor. And then spent four great years in Indiana. Larry Bird came in, played 2 years for Bird, which was you know, a phenomenal experience. And then ended up grinding out a 10-year career. So it really was that first year, that draft night, kind of surreal. You know, very thankful that I was put into the position that I was.
We're talking to Coach Fred Hoiberg. And, of course, you know, we all know that you were the head coach of the Bulls. And I'm curious, when you were coaching in the NBA, who was that one player that you always had trouble game planning for? That one player that you thought you maybe had a good game plan for, but every single night they were just a really good player.
The hardest guy as a coach to game plan for was probably Harden. You know, you just try to do everything you could to force him to his right hand. But if he got it going and he had a step back going, there just really wasn't a lot you could do. But I'd say Harden and Giannis were the two. You know, with Giannis, the game plan was always to try to sit at the elbows and sit at the blocks and try to take away any little gap. He's the best I've ever seen at getting through a small gap and playing in small spaces and either getting to the rim where obviously if he gets past one defender, it's over. And then he also has the ability to spray out to their shooters. So, you know, those two guys, you know, as a coach, as player, you know, the guys that were hard for me to guard, I played on a great Timberwolves team with, you know, Kevin Garnett was the MVP. Mm-hmm. Sam Cassell was kind of our closer. He was an all-star that year. Latrell Sprewell, that was kind of our three-headed monster. So, you know, playing on that team, Cassell couldn't guard anybody. So I would always have to play those small guards were the ones that always gave me trouble. The Iversons, even a guy like Earl Boykins. I mean, he was impossible to stay in front of. But, you know, playing in the playoffs, we beat Sacramento in an incredible seven-game series in the Western Conference semifinals and guard Mike Bibby, you know, or Stojakovic. You know, Sprewell and I would kind of take turns with that. Wally Szczerbiak was hurt for a lot of that year, so that gave me a lot of minutes, especially in crunch time. But those little guards were the ones that gave me trouble.
Hey, Coach, bringing it back locally for a little bit and about the local community that is Lincoln, and you've got history here, born here, grandpa and the coach, and but you guys just had a chance, and I mean, this Lincoln community, again, I'm from Charlotte, North Carolina. I've been here since 2001 and never knew what Lincoln meant until you get here and you see the embracing of the culture, the fans, and things like that. But something I know that's near and dear to you, you guys got a chance to go to the Nebraska Heart Hospital and spend some time with patients undergoing treatment or recovery. What do those things mean to you when you get a chance to give back like that and to get your team involved?
Yeah, it's important. And, you know, it's been tough the last couple of years because of COVID. And they really wanted you to be careful, even when you go to hospitals like that, you know, that you don't spread, you know, spread COVID. And, mm-hmm. and when things were shut down, it was obviously hard to get out in the community. You know, for me, it was, you know, something that was very emotional when you go in and you kind of relive the experience of going through that incredibly difficult procedure of open heart surgery. I actually, my first surgery was in 2005. I had my best year in the NBA. I led the league in three-point shooting that year. I shot 48.5% from the three-point line that season. And, you know, I went in to get some additional life insurance. My wife and I, we had the twins since we had our first policy and our first two kids. So I went in and I was rejected for the policy that we signed up for, and I had to do a physical as part of it. So our team doctor, I played the rest of the season. He was comfortable, but after the year, he sent me down to the Mayo Clinic where I did a battery test. I went in and met with a world-renowned cardiologist, and you know, I went in the next morning with my wife expecting everything was going to be fine, and he said, "You're lucky you're here because you have a life-threatening condition. Wow. You need open heart surgery and you need it soon." And wow. You know, you just talk about a kick to the gut. Is, you know, a guy that had the best year of his life, had zero symptoms, I felt great, had no issues with my body, and you're told that you have to have this procedure, you know, that you would never in a million years think that you'd nor associate that with your grandparents. So, you know, after I came to terms with it, I was 32 years old. We had four young kids. Everybody that I talked to for second opinion said, you need to get this procedure soon. So 2 weeks later, I got open heart surgery at the Mayo Clinic and fully expected to come back and play. But I had a complication. They hit my conduction system during the surgery, so I developed 100% heart block. And they had to install a pacemaker where I'm 100% paced. So I had an abnormal valve is what the problem was that led to an aneurysm in my aorta. So they've removed a chunk of my aorta and replaced that with Dacron, but they spared the valve. Normally you place the valve at that time. And then 10 years later, I got a second surgery. I had the valve replaced, with a mechanical heart valve. I take blood thinners every day to keep, my blood from coagulating. So, you know, I feel great. I'm on a second pacemaker now. We'll probably need a third in the next couple of years because of how hard it works. You know, I decided it would be a great idea to go into a non-stressful position like coaching with all my work. But, you know, I'm very fortunate. I'm really lucky I found out about my situation when I did before I became a stat. I took a charge from Carl Malone in the playoffs the year before when he was playing for the Lakers, and they said, really, I was one significant blow away from that aorta potentially rupturing. So I was really lucky. But to get our team over there to see that and to spend time with people that had gone through that procedure, it is very uplifting. And that was one of the reasons I was proud of our guys for going in there. It's lonely when you're going through that recovery, and it's hard. I lost about 25 pounds during the recovery. I had an episode where I fainted when I got home from the hospital and had to get rushed back down you know, to get some fluid removed from the sac that surrounds my heart. So there's a lot of lonely days as you're going through the recovery. So if you can have people come in and, you know, let them know you're there for them and support them, you know, that's very important as people go through the recovery.
We're talking to Coach Fred Hoiberg. And, T, you could ask a question right after this. Coach Armond Gates, we know that he is no longer with the team. He's taking a new job over at Oregon. And, you know, it's interesting because you kept him on the staff. He was with a former coach, and you decided to keep him on the team. You know, what made Coach Gates such a good coach that you decided to keep him on the team? And what's your process in finding a new assistant coach?
Yeah, you know what? He just his energy levels are as good as I've been around. He does a phenomenal job with the guys. He's a good player development guy. Does a nice job with the scouting reports. You know, just a very well-rounded person. And you know, I'm happy for him for this new opportunity. When you get a situation like Oregon, you know, that's a very tough one to turn down. And you know, he's now, as you build your resume, you know, ultimately, you know, as everybody in Armand's situation, an assistant coach, they want to ultimately get themselves to a point where they're in charge and they're a head coach. So, you know, the opportunity to work for multiple coaches, for Porter Mosier, you know, for Chris Collins, for Tim Miles, you know, now to get the opportunity to go work with Dana Altman at, you know, an incredible school is phenomenal for him. So I'm excited for him. He's now been with all three of the major shoe companies, which is important as you build your resume. So, you know, he'll be missed. I mean, there's no doubt about that. You know, as far as replacement, I've been on the phone. You can probably hear the hoarseness in my voice from, you know, not only practice, but just interviews and talking to as many people as I possibly can. It is hard. It's tough timing just because of where we are with school starting in a couple weeks and then basically going right into our, fall workouts and then into our camp once we start late in September. But there's some really good ones out there. And, you know, there's a lot of different directions you can go with a hire like this. And I am not in a hurry. You know, I've talked to a bunch of people, probably 15 coaches I've talked to, and then pretty much everybody that's attached to those guys. So, you know, it's an important one. You know, obviously I want to get somebody that can come in here that has a good recruiting base, that can help with player development, but really important as far as building relationships with our players and get them to the point where, you know, you have, you know, you show them how much you care about them. So, you know, when you have difficult moments and you hit adversity, they know that you're there for them. So, you know, again, I've had some good guys, going to bring a couple to campus, you know, for then the kind of the next round of interviews, but you know, we'll get a good one in here for sure.
T, do you have a question for Coach?
Yeah, Coach, that's awesome to hear, and that definitely explains, you know, from your heart condition, it explains your calmness on the sideline, because when I watch you coach, I'm like, he has to be the smoothest and the coolest coach of all time, because I would have exploded on a couple of occasions and watching some of those games, but hey, prayers for you, you know, as you continue dealing with the heart condition, and, you know, there's a lot of folks out there, and that was huge in you taking the team down to the Hardos, you know, hospital to, you know, see those patients and things of that sort. I'm sure they still definitely appreciated it, and it's helped them through a lot of difficult times. But from an alumni perspective, and I know you and I have talked a little bit. I know we've talked about a golf outing, you know, hopefully coming up this year.
And but I'm getting strokes if I play. I'm getting strokes.
You're getting it from Coach. But, you know, just from a, you know, just from an alumni perspective, you know, and I know I've been, you know, contacting a lot of alumni. But what do you want from the alumni, and you know, just from a support perspective, you know, and some of us still live there. A lot of us live, you know, in different states. So, what do you need from us?
Yeah, you know, I think, and I've actually talked to quite a few as I'm going through this coaching search. Eric Strickland came by practice yesterday and talked to the team. He was great. You know, excited that he's going to be back in the area this year, you know, playing in the golf event a couple months ago, T, which you were at, and several of the other guys as well. So, you know, I in the process working with Cheryl about organizing something, you know, for next summer where we can do something and almost make a weekend out of it. And, you know, it's something that, you know, I really want to continue to build as we move on. We have the game where we bring all the players back for, you know, but I want to make it more in the off season where you can spend more time. And, you know, during the season, you're so caught up in everything and you have to start preparing for the next one. So you just don't get the quality time that you would get in a more informal setting in the summer. So, you know, definitely working on getting an event set for the alumni. And, you know, I think a big thing, and I've talked to several about, you know, players in areas where some of the guys live. And, you know, just trying to do that. I had a good talk with Tony Farmer last week. And, you know, just as we continue on with our search and talk about different things. But, you know, again, I do want to get something out there. I mean, this again, last year was a very disappointing year, a very difficult year for us with, again, all the close games we lost with some key injuries early in the season. And then finally putting it all together at the end of the season is kind of how I envisioned that season going last year with the way that we ended playing so well. So, you know, it is something that you want your alumni base to be proud of. And, again, I do think this team with the grit and the toughness that we have is going to be an easy team to root for and, you know, hopefully something that our alumni can be proud of.
Coach, I'm a crafty I'm a crafty 12. How many would I be getting?
Not very many. I used to be a crafty 2 when I was playing a lot, when I was playing in the league. And then we had kids. The good thing is my kids are all really, my boys are all really good players. And actually my son Jack was, he got a golf scholarship to play before he decided to play basketball at Michigan State and finished up at UT Arlington. But my twins, one of them won the districts last year, mm-hmm. Set 2-under in the districts, and then, you know, had a really good first round of the state tournament. You know, unfortunately couldn't hold it off, but, you know, I've gotten to the point where, you know, it used to really bother me when I didn't play well, but mm-hmm. It's gotten to the point where, you know what, I go out, I try to have fun, I just try to relax, and, you know, my boys are ultra competitive, you know, when they get out there on the course, but it's got to the point where it's really not that important to me anymore. So I enjoy getting out. As a 12, I would only give you a couple Perfect. Aside, but I used to be pretty good.
A couple aside, I just heard. He said a couple aside. Hey, Coach, you went right into my next, the competition within the family. You were a shooter. You could knock it down. Is there a friendly competition, and have you ever been beaten in a shooting competition by any of the boys?
Not by my boys, and I don't think by anybody that's ever played for me either, except for Casey. Casey's the one guy, and when he came last year, you know, and I'm happy. Casey's had a great summer. I mean, what he did against mm-hmm. Australia, who's one of the top teams in the world in their last FIBA game. I mean, he had 33 points, hit 8 threes, you know, really had a summer where I hope that confidence can carry over to next season. And, you know, for especially junior college players, there's a heck of an adjustment when you come to this level. So the fact that he's experienced that and had the type of summer that he did against quality competition, hopefully will carry over to the season. But Casey, I don't know if you saw highlights of it, but he's hitting shots mm-hmm. from the midcourt logo. I mean, it was incredible what he did. So he's probably the one guy, him and I had a guy at Iowa State named Tyrus McGee, that led the nation in 3-point shooting. Those are the two that have probably been closest. The best shooter I probably was with, so when I played for the Pacers that first year, not only when Larry Bird came in, it was my third year, it was Reggie Miller. Chris Mullen was on that team, who probably is the best just pure standstill shooter that I've ever been around. And then Larry Bird, and, you know, there'd be games of Horse. And you remember those old McDonald's commercials where Bird would play Jordan and Horse? He would make those shots. He'd go behind the basket by 15 or 20 feet and just rein them in. And it was pretty incredible. But as far as the family, you know, probably the best shooter of all of them is the one that didn't play college basketball, is Charlie, mm-hmm. who's going to TCU. But when he was at AAU, I mean, he had a game, I think he had 12 threes, you know, but he's the smart one. He decided he just wanted to go to college and have fun.
There's nothing wrong with that. Awesome. Nothing wrong with it. Well, guys, I could go on forever. I know, Coach, that you're probably getting ready to see how many trash cans have been used after conditioning, and so we'll probably let you get back to that. T-Man, we appreciate you so much. Looking forward to this season, and hopefully we can get another chance to do this again and definitely get on the golf course. I would definitely take two aside.
I would love to do it. T, when you get back to town, let's try and get out and play. You know, bring a couple of your guys with you as well. But, you know, I really appreciate the support. Again, I'm excited about our year. I do think we've got a group that, you know, that's going to go out and make this, you know, make this fan base proud just because of how hard I know that they're going to play. I hope it translates into wins. But, you know, I do know this is a team that people will be able to rally behind because of the makeup of them. So, you know, thank you guys so much, and we'll look forward to doing this again soon.
Thanks, Coach. We'll be there.
All right.
We'll be there, Sean.
Right,
see you guys. You guys take care. Stay
all
blessed.
Right, thanks for coming. Yep.
Yep. Thanks, Dean.
Henry T. Buchanan, Coach Hoiberg. We will have that podcast up. We'll come back. We'll have Dr. Dane Todd come up. He'll be a little late, but we're going to come back and talk about that a little bit because that was pretty good stuff. Big moment for us. So we'll take a break and we'll be right back.